Hey, yo, what's up, everybody? This is Weebcast. Yes, the number one anime and manga show on the internet. Welcome back. This is your host, C-Dub, a.k.a. Mori, a.k.a. the Independent Fairable, a.k.a. he's drinking another monster for this week. It started out just a once-a-week thing. Put a little pep in my step. Get through some of the work days, and now look at him. I'm addicted. I think I'm at 2 cans a week now. Is that bad? I'm thinking that's an addiction waiting to happen. But other than that, on some other cool news, happy Memorial Day weekend. Hope you guys have some time to spend with your friends and family. Remember the fallen ones. And just hopefully there's some good things you guys have planned for this weekend. And hopefully I can get it started right because this week's episode, I'm going to be talking about Yasuke, the Netflix anime that released in last month, I believe, at the time of recording. I think it's been just about a month since it released in April. So I'm going to be reviewing that. I'm doing a little bit of a deep dive on that anime for this week, and I think you may be surprised on some of the things I have to talk about on this certain show. But all in all, it was an entertaining. It was sort of endearing. And it did some things pretty well. It tried to do things so well that it actually almost lost some of its purpose. And we'll get into that a little bit later into the show. But before I do that, you know what time it is. You know what it is. This month, we have been sponsored by our friends at Baxter Blue. Do you experience digital eye strain from too much blue light exposure from digital screens? Well, Baxter Blue glasses are not your average frames, because these blue light lenses filter 80% of the highest energy blue light, eliminating 99% of glare. The past year, we have all been glued to our devices more than ever. And like myself, since starting the podcast back in last February of 2020, I have been glued to my 3 screens all the time, whether it's the computer, the iPad, or my phone, watching loads and loads of anime and reading loads and loads of manga, getting research done so I can put together these fantastic episodes. So I've been standing at some screens for a while. So, and our exposure to this digital light has soared, and our eyes and our sleep have suffered as a result. So Baxter Blue is a force for good and provides a pair of reading glasses for someone in need for every pair sold. And this is eyewear built for our digital age. Baxter Blue is giving our listeners 10% off. Yes, that's right. You Weebcast listeners get 10% off your next purchase of blue light, sleep, or kids glasses. Just click the link in our show notes for your exclusive discount. Yes, the link is below in the description of this episode. Because this is the sign you have been waiting for to invest in blue light glasses. We know you will love your Baxters, and we know that you will feel the difference. All right. Like I said, thank you for tuning in into Weebcast. I've shared some of the goals. I'm pretty sure I shared. I don't know if I've talked about it in episodes prior, but I do have some goals for 2021. And now that we're getting closer to the halfway point of the year, I was like, maybe I should share some of where my progress and what my thoughts are for Weebcast shortly. I'll just do a few minutes. Don't worry, I'll talk about Yasuke in a bit. All right, don't worry, I'll review and all that stuff in a second. Just wanted to tell you some of my goals. Some of the goals right now is get at least 5 patrons. So far, you know, not looking too good. But we're staying positive. The other one that was my most important one, it was finding a long-term co-host or co-host who would love to be a part of the show for the long run. And that one actually is having some progress. I'm actually getting some progress onto having a co-host on the show, someone who is willing to record on a weekly basis with myself to do some of the main shows. That is actually moving along. Another goal of mine is to get to at least 5,000 downloads by the end of the year. And currently we are around 3,100 right now. So we're just a little under 2,000 away to go. And to even get to 3,000 is incredible. I would never think we'd get to this many listens and downloads. So thank you so much to everyone listening right now. But enough of that. Let me not waste more of your time. I want to talk about the Black Samurai Yasuke review. It's such an imperfect but entertaining, engaging anime. All right. The new Netflix anime Yasuke is an entertaining, it's endearing new anime that focuses on a black man who was brought to Japan when he became the first and possibly only black samurai in Japanese history. The lone fact known about Yasuke is he served a feudal lord until Daimyo was forced into a ritual suicide by a traitor and underling in 1582. And this story has been little told until now. You know, the Netflix anime, which released in April, captures this fascinating tale set over 400 years ago. The anime, right off the bat, has a really striking style and delves into mostly this unknown part of history. And the anime is created by Cannon Busters. Creator LaShawn Thomas and executive producer LaKeith Stanfield, who also voices the show's main character, Yasuke, is animated by the same studio that animates Jujutsu Kaisen. Studio MAPPA, of course. And this show has lovely animation, dramatic action sequences, which Studio MAPPA thrives in. So, and though the dialogue and character development are not perfect, the overall outcome is enjoyable, and it is an engaging anime, though. The story follows Yasuke, a black samurai boatsman who is hunted by the past as a samurai for Oda Nobunaga, a feudal lord who hired him after becoming impressed with his combat skills. So one day, Yasuke is asked to escort a girl named Saki, played by Maya Tanita, to a doctor to treat a mystery illness. And it turns out that Saki has, well, magical powers that are coveted by evil beings. And as the story progresses, Yasuke must use his samurai skills to defend Saki, a girl he has to care about. Before I move on, did I say spoiler warning? If there are spoilers, I'm sorry. Just giving you a warning, heads up right now. As I take an unprofessional sip of my monster. Getting that stupid gag, back into the show again. But I've already mentioned it a little bit just a few minutes ago. But the visuals in this show are pretty captivating, if I do so say myself. Because visually, Yasuke, it truly is an alluring and bright sci-fi anime. The shots of the landscape are extremely detailed, and the overall quality of the aesthetics is pretty immersive. You know, and composed by Flying Lotus, who also exclusively produces the show, the score of the series includes tranquil, calming sounds. The anime is exciting, and it incorporates action scenes where power dynamics are explored, like shonen fantasy archetypes are examined here. The show includes samurai, magic, characters that can morph into goddamn animals. There's a climactic battle in season one where giant mechas, superpowered beings, and ordinary soldiers fight it out among explosions and bloodshed. And in another compelling scene, Yasuke, possibly the only black samurai, uses his boat paddle as a weapon while fighting a group of mercenaries on ice. The fight scenes are well done, although they are not especially elaborate. They're not, you know. And I'm going to talk about, you know, one of the first... I wanted to get the good things, some of the good stuff out there first. Because it looks like visually such a good-looking show. But I do have to talk about one of the things that fell pretty flat into the show. And that was some of the character development. The main criticism that I can make about Yasuke is that the dialogue and character development leaves something to be desired. The episodes are short, which may be a contributing factor to the show's flaws, but there's a group of mercenaries that, including a feature, a mystical African shaman, a werewolf who offer little in the way of character development, and the villains want power for power's sake. All of the characters are introduced quickly, and the viewers are never really given the opportunity to learn about and care about these characters on anything but a surface level. The characters lack depth, and the dialogue isn't really always stellar. In fact, some of the dialogue feels heavy-handed. And for example, there's a scene where the black samurai Yasuke is talking to a member of Nobunaga's army about how samurai is part of Japanese culture, and it's so over the top. It seems like he's talking to a foreigner or something completely unfamiliar with the concept rather than speaking to someone who is, in fact, Japanese. And this type of dialogue contributes to the feeling that the characters are too overly aware of their positions within the story and that the characters lack some depth here. There was a few missed opportunities, small, you know, here and there. But Yasuke, a character from an extraordinary part of Japanese history, seemed like it would be a great place for character development. But in this anime, it's a little bit underwhelming. The story begins slow and then seems to pick up in a few episodes in. But Yasuke is stoic. He mostly talks about what is and what is not honorable. And he has needed to prove those who doubt him wrong because of the color of his skin, but he never discusses the psychological effects of his experience. There are flashbacks to his past, which feature scenes of betrayal, prejudice, but it still feels like there's a missed opportunity when it comes to exploring his character and the problems he faces. Stanfield speaks in sort of a monotone and solemn way and barely changes vocal inflections very often. If delivering a threat or something urgent, the lack of change in his tone becomes a little more noticeable. Even some of the character interactions are a little shallow, I'd say. There's this one scene. Yasuke saves a boy from an angry samurai, and he proves his nobility at that moment. His interactions with Saki, which include her, you know, innocent questions and his honest and straightforward responses, do kind of add a warm dynamic to the show. The short length of the episodes and the fact that there are multiple storylines and plots being presented at the same time leaves little room for in-depth connections to be formed between Yasuke and Saki. You know, their interactions are just, unfortunately, just limited. And the relationships and character developments could be better. And often it feels like the characters are used as a way to move to the next action scene rather than creating character and relationships that the viewers would eventually care about. You know, despite what is lacking in the dialogue and character development, this anime is still worthwhile because of its battle scenes and captivating artwork and engaging plot. Yasuke is a compelling piece of history that otherwise would have remained mostly forgotten. All in all, Yasuke, the first and possibly only black samurai in Japanese history, is an entertaining, engaging new anime that reimagines a mostly forgotten part of Japanese history. There are vibrant visuals and a peaceful score. The dialogue and character development leaves something to be desired, And there's a missed opportunity to explore the difficulties Yasuke faced because of the color of his skin. The short episodes could also benefited from developing depth between the characters and improving their interactions. But overall, Yasuke is a compelling piece of history that otherwise would have remained mostly forgotten. And so Weepcast gives this... No. No official Weepcast score. At least not yet. Because there's one more thing that I wanted to talk about in regards to this show. Before I give it an official score. And on a more serious note, and one of the major issues I felt that I had with the show was that the history of this story was overshadowed by I do feel like the genre, the sci-fi genre, which I don't say this often. Look, I think sci-fi is one of the greatest genres in fiction, because you can do so many things with it, and it can elevate storylines, plot devices, give way into how we see our own culture, you know. And I just feel like let me explain. Let me start from the top here. All right, can I do that? The Legend of Yasuke sounds like it was tailor-made to be adapted into an anime, right? A real-life African man who traveled to Japan, served under Oda Nobunaga as history's first black samurai. Yasuke has been part of popular culture in Japan for hundreds of years, but it's only recently that he debuted in his first anime. Netflix's Yasuke was created by Cannon Busters, like I said. You know, creator LaShawn Thomas, Studio MAPPA. And I did forget the character designs, which are really great in the show. Takashi Koike. And this show takes place in an alternate version of the 16th century Japan, where magic and robots exist. While scores of people have eagerly awaited the day when the story of Yasuke would become an anime, the end result was an enjoyable anime, but with a little bit of a disappointment. Yasuke is a middling anime that squanders its rich historical source material. The series takes place 20 years after the last known historical records for the real-life Yasuke. The story of the real-life Yasuke, as we know it, is reduced to a backstory told through flashbacks. Like I said, they could have done a lot more with that. And of course, with any historical fiction, a certain level of fabrication and creative liberty is to be expected, right? Especially in the case of Yasuke, where much of the available information is in the realm of speculation and debate. But the extent to which Yasuke expands upon its historical basis makes me question why this character even had to be Yasuke in the first place. Because the creators of Yasuke seem to have little interest in the real-life history and cultural surrounding the titular historical hero. Everything about the setting that should have been the main event feels like nothing more than set dressing. Both the real-life and fictional Yasuke lived in Sengoku period of Japan. There's a lot of material that could have been taken away from the history of this period, but both plot-wise and thematically, you know. And it was a time defined by war and revolution as Japan was being unified and was laying the groundwork for the Edo period. What would have been the most interesting is to explore how Yasuke would have fit into that point of history. As one, if not the only, black person in the entire nation at the period, accepted as a samurai and servant under Oda Nobunaga, one of the Sengoku period's great unifiers, how does it feel to be the center of the action in molding the future of a place you're an outsider to? We're shown that many Japanese are unwilling to accept him as one of themselves, but this is very surface level. Unfortunately, the show doesn't put a lot of stock in the historical and cultural happenings of the time. Other series like Rurouni Kenshin and Gintama have taken Japanese history and used it as the basis for their story and characters. But these shows are much more committed to using the historical settings to their advantage. In Gintama, the events surrounding the end of the Edo period, such as the sword ban and forceful opening of the country to the world, and integral components of the plot and characters. Kenshin, meanwhile, is motivated by the desire to atone for his murderous actions at the end of the Edo period, disillusioned by the government he helped to establish. These stories, where Japanese culture and historical context are inalienable, but in Yasuke, the decision to place it in the Sengoku period and its protagonist are almost entirely just for aesthetics. And it sort of rubbed me the wrong way. In terms of actual narrative substance, we could replace Japan with a fictional nation, and Yasuke with a fictional warrior, and it still would have been essentially the same show. Oda Nobunaga, one of Japan's largest historical figures, is barely seen here. After he dies in the very first episode, he's only in a handful of scenes. And he's characterized as being an egalitarian who accepts Yasuke and Natsumaru with open arms in his inner circle, despite the protests from his other companions. And it's kind of implied that this attitude of his, influenced by his romantic relationship with his male retainer, Ranmaru, I believe was his name. But what really is missing is any development on the relationship between Nobunaga and Yasuke. The scenes they do share together convey very, very little outside of the formality demanded on their official roles as lord and subject. And this makes the extraordinary amount of trust and respect that the show tells us these two hold for each other kind of feel unearned. Yasuke lacked scenes that would show how these two interact and relate on a more intimate human level. The anime original character, Natsumaru, who is now Yasuke's love interest and is connected to his mission in the show's present time, also feels kind of underdeveloped, which kind of dulled the impact of what should have been a very, very, very powerful moment between those two. There isn't much to say about Yasuke's personality. He's the standard archetype of an older man who was a warrior in his former life, but comes out of retirement for one last time when he is needed, you know? And it's something that's been done, I don't know, a million times before. And there's little that feels specific to the character who is supposed to be the real-life Yasuke. And there are so many things that could have been explored but weren't. You know, and we hear him quote a Bible verse, but we don't know how he feels about this, his time with the Jesuits. I mean, does he take their lessons of Christianity to heart? Or was it just a rote memorization of something forced upon him? Does he resent his experience with the Europeans? How does he feel about the differing philosophies of the Japanese serving under their feudal lord versus how he was treated by the Europeans? The closest thing we get to any thematic significance given to Yasuke's situation is his opponents constantly telling him that he was born a servant and will always be a servant. Mitsuhide, who in both the show and real life was the betrayer who led to Nobunaga's downfall, who have made the perfect main antagonist in this series. The show presents motivations for his heel turn as resentment for Nobunaga valuing Yasuke over himself. You know, Mitsuhide is an older man. He's a strict traditionalist who sees that times are changing and is desperate not to be left behind. So, despite the historical precedent and the great job the show does of setting up his motivations, he doesn't amount to all of that much in the end. Instead of the role of the main villain is taken by a magical monster named the Dark Daimyo, whose motivations are just a hair better than evil for the sake of evil. Mitsuhide's own motivations are even somewhat neutered by Yasuke insisting on multiple occasions that he's been corrupted by the power and influence of the Daimyo. His final confrontation with Yasuke was so unremarkable and lacked the emotional catharsis that such an encounter rightfully should have had. And I'm not totally against the idea of including sci-fi and fantasy elements into the story. But what sours me on it is in Yasuke is how superficial they feel. They work as cool visuals, something to spice up the fights and action scenes, but there's so much little below the surface. In the world of Netflix's Yasuke, mech suits and magic users are staple components in the military, and have been so for about 300 years, assuming the Mongol invasion of Japan happened in the same time as the show in the show as it did in real life. But their presence has left rest of the country untouched. If these sorts of things have been widespread for so long, it would have only made sense for them to trickle into other parts of society. Perhaps these 16th century villagers would have had maybe robot waiters in the taverns, streets lit up by magical lights. But nothing like that is in Yasuke. Even restricted to the military, you might expect motorized vehicles, wireless communication maybe. We don't even see the widespread use of firearms, which Japanese militaries actually used extensively during that time in real life. Outside the military fight scenes, day-to-day life seems exactly the same as the real 16th century. Much of the sci-fi fantasy elements feel tacked on just for the sake of being cool, without much thought into how it should affect the rest of the setting. And this is another way in which I would contrast the show to Gintama. Gintama also packs robots and magic into a historical Japanese setting, but they don't feel superficial because it was considered how their presence would affect their day-to-day operation. Yasuke is not the Yasuke anime that I was waiting for. All of the things that would have been done in the real-life legend justice, all of the things that would have done the real-life legend justice are either used too sparingly or just left out altogether. The creators of Yasuke expressed their plans for continuation of the series, so, it's still possible for improvements to happen. But as it stands currently to this day, Netflix's Yasuke is still an average, enjoyable anime for a most certainly not average historical figure. Thank you for reaching the end of the episode, and now I'll finally give my official Weebcast score. It is a good show, an average show. I'm gonna have to give it it's gonna have to be a 3.1 out of 5. Some of the pros, it's a show about Yasuke, the first and only possibly black samurai in Japanese history. So the concept was great. Another pro, vibrant visuals and a peaceful score. A compelling piece of history that otherwise would have remained forgotten. Some of the cons, I've already talked a lot about the cons, but dialogue, character development was something left to be desired. A lot of missed opportunities on to explore the difficulties Yasuke faced because of the color of skin. And the short episodes could have been benefited from developing depth between the characters and involving in interaction. And the biggest con was the sci-fi overshadowing this great history of Yasuke and just being used as set dressing instead of amplifying the history and making it into a better show. So that's why it's a low 3 out of 5 for me, almost a high 2. It was dangerously close to being about a high 2 instead of a low 3. And I give it that little bump just because I do like how the show looks. The music was great. And I love the concept of it. And I'm glad it's going to continue, because I love when things get the chance to improve. And I really hope the show does improve, because it definitely deserves that much. But you've reached the end of Weebcast, the number one anime and manga show on the internet. This has been your boy C-Dub, aka Mori, aka the Independent Variable, aka Mr. Drinking Monster, way too early in the morning. And I hope you guys enjoy this show. I hope you guys share this show with your friends and family and people who love anime just as much as you and I. Because you may, with Weebcast, we deep dive into your favorite anime and your favorite manga better than any other show or any podcast or show on the internet. Because that's just what I do. If you're whatever podcast platform you may be listening to onto the show, make sure that you rate, you subscribe, especially if you're listening to Apple Podcasts. Make sure that you leave a rating as well. If you rate and subscribe, give it 5 stars. Tell us what you liked about the show. Tell us what you don't like about the show, but definitely review it. It does us wonders for small podcasts like Weebcast and to so that they can be seen more on the charts and all that good stuff. Please, that would be greatly helpful. Definitely take a chance. There's other ways to support. In the description, there's some ways to support. You can support the show on Anchor by giving a donation there. It should just be an Anchor support link. It should be at the very bottom. There's also a link to my Patreon. Like I said, we have a goal. I want to get at least 5 patrons for this year. There's as low as $4, you can get perks with the show, getting new early episode, your personal RSS feed, so you get the shows immediately before anybody else, and all that good and juicy stuff. Make sure you guys check out that link at patreon.com/weebcastshow. And also, I've opened up a Tap Tapes where you can subscribe there with even more things. I'll put a link in that eventually. And the last way you can support, if you don't want any other perks, you just want to support the show out of the goodness of your heart and give it a little donation, I should have my PayPal in the description as well. Just click that link and you can send stuff directly to the PayPal. That'd be so lovely. Anything to help the show. I want to improve the show over this year a lot. And you guys are the one that are helping me support this show and for it to grow. So thank you so much. And I hope you guys continue to do so. I don't think there's anything else to say. Some loose ends, maybe. Like I said, not sure what I want to do next week. We'll see what I want to talk about for next week. If you have any ideas on what topics I should do onto the show, or if you want to be on the show, make sure you contact me, because also in the description, in the show notes, there's various forms. You can email me at clw19@mail.com. You could send me a tweet on Based Senpai on Twitter. And also you can message me on Weebcast. Message me on Instagram at WeebcastTV. Send a hello. Send suggestions. Send topic suggestions. Just want to chat with me. Follow me on those, on my social medias. Let me know what you, we could chat and all that cool stuff. I love talking to the peeps, all right? Love talking to the weebs. But that's it for me. Thank you for allowing my voice into your ears, into your homes. I hope you guys have a lovely Memorial weekend. Stay safe out there. Love one another. Because we need to love each other and love everybody. See ya. I'm out of 3,000.